is 10:18 in Wicklow MR3 for the NSG Privacy and Human Rights at ICANN 1600 to 1730.
Okay, thanks everyone for coming to this session today. So my name is Rafi Damak. I'm the chair of the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group. And this session is kind of, let's say, we are trying here to introduce about all the issues related to privacy within ICANN. So we try to have kind of interactive session and to maybe first we will get kind of introduction from Stéphanie Perrin, who is in my right, to describe about ongoing policy development processes about related to who is and the impact on privacy. So we are maybe if we're, when we get our speakers coming to here, I mean we hear about other position and so on. So I'm not going to be waiting more, and we move now to Stéphanie.
Hi, thanks very much. My name is Stéphanie Perrin, for the record. Just a couple of administrative notes. When you're speaking into these mics, apparently it's good to be close. So I apologize if I'm too close. Yes. And secondly, please give your name for the transcript. Now, we have a very kind of freestyle discussion planned for today. It's only an hour and a half, and because of the many conflicting activities going on, we will have people running in and running out. So there are several people who have volunteered to give us their views on some of the privacy topics. I don't see anyone that I'm going to immediately pass the baton to, but please just raise your hand. Are we in the Adobe room, Mariam? Yes? Or if you're in the Adobe room, put your hand up. And the idea is that everybody get 5 minutes to talk about where they think the concerns are. Now, just to give you a brief overview of what's coming at us, the biggest PDP that we see coming is the RDDS PDP, which is the acronym for the Registration Data Directory Services. As some may know, there was a complete revisiting of who is by an expert working group. It started in February of 2013, and it wrapped up with a final report in, I believe, June 2014. There has been a board GNSO joint working group that has been contemplating what ICANN should do with that board and how to implement it. And there is a motion in front of the GNSO to move forward and strike a PDP and seek volunteers for that working group. Now that, I think it's fair to say, is going to be a lengthy process. There's a lot of things. We call it all things who is in there. Not everything related to who is will be in there. But there are many, many implications behind this move to come up with a new way of doing who is, both technically and from a policy perspective and from an implementation at the registrar level. So that various people have questions about that. We had recently a final report of, and I'm sure I'm going to get this name wrong, but there was a conflicts with law implementation review working group of volunteers, kind of an unofficial group that was just looking to see if there was a better way to implement the who is conflicts with law policy procedures. Now, the who is conflicts with law policy is some 10 years old, and it was a fairly, I think, fair to say, fractious group that met on this because many folks felt that the policy ought to be revisited, but that was not within our mandate. So that report is out there awaiting comments, and it's quite an extensive comment period for that. So there might be a discussion on what kind of comments people might want to make on that, and I know I've got a couple of speakers coming to speak on that. They show up. Maybe someone can tell me how exciting all our competing sessions are. Is that what's keeping them away? Then the next one is there is a Privacy Proxy Services Accreditation Issues Working Group.
Thanks, Stephanie. Maybe if you can introduce first what is the WHO is, to give kind of a general overview to the people here. So I think we have like folks on the next generation, so on. So just if you can do that for 2-3 minutes.
Okay, how many are familiar with WHO is? Okay, well, maybe why don't you let me get through the list, Rafiq, and then I'll kind of round around with the basic privacy issues that we have on the tape, because I've only got one more. The where was I? Oh, yeah, the PPSAI. Privacy Proxy Services arose in order that people who didn't want their personal information or their company information to appear in the WHO is, they could hire a privacy proxy service to do it for them. And there are many different kinds of privacy proxy services out there. None of them are at the moment accredited, and it was the recommendation of an earlier WHO is review that they be accredited. And I believe that obligation was put into the RAA 2013 agreement. So this committee has been meeting for, I think we're almost at 2 years now, weekly, to figure out what the accreditation issues are, and there was a call for comments recently. We received over 20,000 comments, which is a record for ICANN, even beat out .xxx or whatever that famous one was. So a lot of interest in this topic, and we're expecting to wrap up and get a report out there somewhere. Well, I think December is optimistic myself, but maybe, if not early in the new year. So there's that. Now, basically, I'm following up on what Rafiq had asked. We in the NCUC, NCSG community see a number of different privacy issues at ICANN. There's ICANN as an organization that, in our view, has an inadequate privacy policy and so possibly treats our volunteer information improperly, possibly is not doing what it needs to do with HR information. And then there is ICANN as a data controller setting the rules through its contract provisions for all users on the Internet when they register a domain name, because that is, of course, passed through to the registries and registrars. So those are two kind of different spokes. We certainly view them as a data controller, and anyone who wants to talk about that, I can bore you later about it. So we have been drafting what we think is a better privacy policy for ICANN. Sooner or later, when we get that done, we're going to send it probably to the board. Volunteers would be gratefully received on that because kind of petered out with all these PDPs coming. But if anyone would like to help us out with that, please sign up. So that's kind of the waterfront. Now, the issues about WHO is are also kind of bifurcated and complex because theoretically, if you have a data protection law, you are entitled to have your personal information protected by law. It should not be going into a public directory. We have received lots of advice from data commissioners since the time ICANN was created that these directories don't comply with the European Directive 9546 that governs the 26 European states. So all of that material is available on the, and the letters indicating these things is up on the ICANN site. On top of that, there is the issue of whether organizations that are entitled to freedom of association and political activity in anonymously, which is a right that is guaranteed in many states, notably the United States, whether they have a right to confidentiality in their personal information behind their website or their contact information behind their website. So we in NCSG like to protect both of those rights. So that's why privacy proxy services are extremely important. Not all countries have data in law, and if you don't, then you have to use a privacy proxy service. Not all endangered, from a human rights perspective, groups have the protection of constitution, so we'd like to see the highest standard there in terms of protection of organizations, religious groups, political speech, etc. So that's kind of what we see as the privacy issues. So I think I'll leave it there. Now, do we have any volunteers who'd like to start off the roving mic and contribute here? No one?
Don't be shy, guys.
Don't be shy. Nobody. Okay. First poor soul that stumbles in from another meeting is going to have a mic thrust at them. I can tell you that right now. Okay, well, I didn't want to do all the talking, but I will talk about the Who Is Conflicts with Law, because that's the most recent. And I'm expecting Christopher Wilkinson to show up and talk about this. Basically, this is a procedure that was mandated by this policy, Who Is Conflicts with Law. That policy was set, I believe, 10 years ago, but I could be wrong. And the procedure is that if...
Perfect.
Amr, none of my volunteers to speak have shown up. So I just said that the next guy who walks through the door... No, I'm talking about Who Is Conflicts with Law, so you're safe. You're not on that group. Basically, I think the registrars were complaining that there was a trigger mechanism that allowed them to appeal to ICANN to get a waiver from the policy so that they could comply with their national data protection law. And the trigger, well, there have been various triggers proposed, but at the moment they had to get a letter from the data protection commissioner that said, you're not in compliance with the law. Then they would take that letter to ICANN and request a waiver. That procedure, of course, puts them in the position where their lawyers are telling them you can't break the law, and they won't get a letter from the data protection commissioner until they do, because many data protection commissioners don't give a determination over whether something is in violation of the law before something happens. It's you know, they have a quasi-judicial authority in many cases, and they can't do it. The other sort of issue that came up as we discussed this was some parties want to make sure that the letter that the registrars get is from someone who has the power to enforce the law. Well, in some jurisdictions, and I speak Canada with some knowledge of the Canadian system, the commissioner doesn't have binding powers. If she wants to enforce one of her orders, she has to take it to, I always say she, it's now a he, sorry. He has to take that to the federal court. So, by definition, he doesn't have the power to enforce it. It is the federal court that has the power to enforce it. So, therefore, you're pushing all these cases to court. The other thing that was very controversial in the group is if one registrar has to do this and manages to get a waiver, why wouldn't the next registrar get a waiver too? It's the same law, it's the same data, it's the same RAA contract, right? So they were the policy or the implementation mechanism as it sits forces every registrar to go and apply for this, which does seem a little... we would call that regulatory burden if this were a regular, Now, just to top that off, the data commissioners in the form of the Article 29 group of the European Union, which is a group of a working party of data commissioners that was established under the Directive 9546. 9546 is basically the harmonizing directive that makes all nation states rise to the level of that standard for their national data protection law, but each independent data protection authority has their own sovereignty in terms of the nation state and their own law. It just has to be determined adequate by this group. So when you have the 26 authorities all in the room saying, we all think our registrars need a waiver, please execute, that's what they wrote to ICANN. ICANN wrote back saying, you're not a proper authority because they don't have power as the Article 29 Working Group, but nevertheless, they are the authority under the directive. So I believe there's a standoff. There's letters going back and forth, and they wrote back saying, would you like each data commissioner to sign it? We can confirm that they were all in the room when the resolution was passed, and I haven't seen the answer to that letter. It's all up on the website under ICANN correspondence. So privacy advocates tend to see this as a kind of obstructive approach on the part of ICANN. And there was much discussion about this in the Who is Conflicts with Law working group. So that final report is out there with a couple of dissents, one from me, and they're in the appendices, they aren't part of the report, and one from Christopher Wilkinson, formerly of the European Commission. Unfortunately, he hasn't shown up, otherwise I would thrust the mic in his general direction. So anybody have any questions on the Who is Conflicts with Law? Yes, please.
Hello, my name is Giovanna Carloni. I'm a next-gen participant.
Lovely.
This is my first time. You're talking about data directive in the Who is Conflicts, and I wonder if you're taking into consideration the changes that the reform auction system in Europe are going to bring with the general data protection regulation. So this is my question, and maybe how the one-stop-shop mechanism would influence, maybe to facilitate the signature of letters, not by all data protection authorities, but actually by maybe one single authority. I don't know what extent this mechanism can help, but maybe if you're considering that. Thank you.
Yes, people are certainly aware of what's going on, but since the regulation isn't really through yet, we can't assume that it's going to be operative. That would solve, I hope it would solve the problem. I'm still mystified about why we're ignoring the letter from all the data protection authorities, you know. So I can't guarantee. McKaylee,
yes.
How lovely. We have a roving mic, and I just finished describing in general terms the Who is Conflicts with Law. Would you like to explain that possibly better than I?
Good afternoon. McKaylee Nalan, for the record, and or transcript or recording or whatever. Dirty, filthy registrar from Ireland. Hi. Okay, so I'm not sure what Stephanie explained because I obviously wasn't here. Essentially, the situation at the moment is that if as a registrar based in the European Union, if we have an issue with the ICANN policy around who is and privacy, we are snookered. I think that's the most polite way I can say it. Ask me later this evening after I've had a couple of pints, and I'll find a much better way of putting it. So this work group struggled. It was quite long, torturous experience, to try and come up with different triggers for the existing policy. So the existing policy, the trigger for it is quite high. You would need to already be in trouble with your local data protection authority or in court, which is, well, it's a bit insane. I mean, especially if you as the registrar, as a company, know that the ICANN policy is smack bang against your local law. You know, you're kind of going, well, come on, this is stupid. So what we're talking about there is trying to change the triggers to make them a little bit more reasonable and not totally insane. But I'm not sure exactly how that's going to pan out in the end. We published our final report, I'll say, 2 weeks ago? Maybe it's 2 weeks ago. With a couple of different options, a few kind of ideas about how that could be changed for the better. I mean, Stephanie and I agree that the current policy is problematic, but that's not within the scope of what we're actually dealing with. So those of you who believe that Stephanie and I are correct that the triggers should be changed, please do submit a comment in favour of that change. But going down the rat hole of talking about the policy itself being fundamentally flawed, while interesting, won't actually help because the IAG is dealing with the actual policy, not anything else. Is that what you wanted me to say?
It's what I anticipated you would say. Personally, I'd like to address the policy, but I realize it's out of scope. Would you like to say a few words about the directory services while you're up there. And if anybody else, please raise your hand if you want to speak at this point. Rudy, maybe
pass the mic around.
Yeah, what you have to say about who to.
Rudy Van Snick, ANPOC, and I'm speaking in my personal name. First of all, I would like to highlight that I'm living in Europe, I'm living in Belgium, that some of the EU member states don't even respect the EU regulations with regards to privacy. So there is already, if you want to apply law, well, each country should at least have a decent law in place if you want to really address the issue at that level. Secondly, privacy will apply in this case, as far as I've understood, most of the cases to individuals, to organizations or companies. It's essentially individuals who want that privacy be protected. In some ways, there are already some rules in place that allows a registrant to hide the personal information by applying the privacy rule at the registration. So there is no public data that is published. Another issue that I revealed in the past several years, and in 2009 I have mentioned it, this issue, during the it was the first Atlas we had with the at-large, on the abuse of domain names. And one of the issues that I see when we push too hard to use privacy rules to hide identities, that at the end we will not be able anymore to discover the criminals behind the registrations. And that's another issue. By pushing it in such a way that a criminal is allowed to hide himself behind that privacy rule, makes law enforcement a very hard time to get through it. And that's one of the issues that I have been discussing with my government in Belgium, with the Federal Computer Crime Unit, and even sometimes with Europol. They said, yeah, well, at some time, the issue of having the individual being protected by hiding its identity makes it very, very difficult for us to do something when something bad happens. The course they have to go is so long before they get the real data. So I think that's something we need to consider when we want to install really hard privacy rules, that we are not protecting the criminals too. It's just a highlight that I would like to do, that we don't use a rule that allows others to do crimes on others.
Hello, Jeremy Malcolm from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. So I just want a quick sanity check of our proposed response to the Who is Privacy on Law consultation, because although you've said it really needs to be narrow and talking about, you know, new triggers that should be added to the existing triggers, we just find the policy so incoherent that it's hard to even respond in those terms. And we're really rather saying that the whole thing should be turned around, and that the registrar or registry, the contracted party, should have the ability to self-assess whether they're able to comply with the Who Is policy without breaching their own data protection law. And if they figure that they're not, then really the responsibility is then on ICANN to enforce the policy against them if it thinks that it can. Rather than putting the onus on them to get legal opinions and to talk to the data protection authorities and get written letters and stuff like this. So do you think that's a ridiculous approach for us to take or not? We're really trying to say, don't put the responsibility on the contracted party, put the responsibility on ICANN.
Well, coincidentally, Christopher Wilkinson has just walked in and sat down beside you, and I believe he made that argument in his dissenting report, which is included at the in the appendices. Chris, just to bring you up to speed, we're talking about Who Is conflicts with law and possible responses to it. So if you'd like to say a few words, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Good afternoon, everyone. I apologize for arriving late, but I've also been involved with the accountability working group, which is still going on. What I had to say, I think I've said in the annex to the report, which I believe has been available to you all. Indeed, in the first instance, I think ICANN should implement best practice, and irrespective of national laws, it would be quite possible for ICANN to adopt global best practice in the matter of privacy. There are other fields, mainly technical, but there are other fields where, as a matter of course, ICANN defines what is best practice, failing which, I made a suggestion along the lines that has just been evoked. I made a suggestion that basically in the trigger mechanism field, there should be the burden of proof should be reversed. And in that case, it would be up to the default would be that the registrar would respect national and local applicable law. This is of particular interest in the context of the European Union, because there is regionally applicable privacy law, and that if that upset ICANN, and if there was concrete evidence that this was interfering with the stability of the internet, then ICANN could initiate an investigation procedure to try and correct that. I find it difficult to envisage exactly what those circumstances might be. Could be a case where registrars, for example, were refusing to cooperate or failing to cooperate with law enforcement when under existing regulations. But on the other hand, I pointed out, and believe that has not been contradicted, that a number of CCTLDs clearly do respect national and local privacy law, and ICANN, to the best of my knowledge, has never complained about that. So what's the problem? Thank you.
Hi, my name's Amar. I'm with the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group. I just wanted to say that it is actually not unreasonable to expect ICANN to sort of the laws are, for example, in jurisdictions like the EU, and this has already been done, for example, as part of the WHOIS PDP. One of the recommendations coming out of that PDP was that a legal analysis be performed to make sure that the transition from thin to thick is in compliance with the laws in the EU. A very thorough analysis was conducted by ICANN Legal, and they found that there are actually problems. So this is something I think the community should go ahead and ask them to do. Unfortunately, the workaround for this specific policy was not very satisfactory, not from my perspective at least. But just the concept that, you know, you could ask ICANN, okay, there are problems, there are data protection issues, there are privacy issues, there are laws, there are jurisdictions where you can't force contracted parties to perform certain actions. So please study. Don't just leave this up to the registrars, each registrar having to apply for a waiver to rules in the RAA. No, there's an ongoing issue, and it affects a lot of them. And ICANN should not be requiring them to perform these actions that could hold them in contempt of their local laws. I was wondering whether this is actually a project about conflicts of who is with the laws. Why was there no legal analysis done by ICANN Legal, same as the thick who is, for example? Things maybe some of the risks of these could be mitigated during implementation. Was this a recommendation of this group?
No, and I think that's an excellent question. We were just talking really about triggers. In fact, if you could share the legal analysis that's provided to the thick who is, that would be very useful for the next next project, which will be the WHO2, otherwise known as RDDS, yada yada.
Yes, thank you. I'm Peter Kimpian from the Council of Europe. I'm very sorry to arriving late also, but I was in a public security meeting, which was quite interesting also from privacy and data protection point of view. So I think I have a very important message to share with you here, is that the Council of Europe, and especially the TPD, which is the advisory body for the Convention 108 is very keen on this, to get involved more in these issues. I mean, privacy and data protection in ICANN. So me, myself, and my colleagues would like to offer our expertise on this level and this in this respect. I'm being the one of the officer of Data Protection Authority at the European Union. We are currently applying European rules, and we have also some expertise, some backgrounds, and some history dealing with such kind of issues. ICANN is of course a global organization which has its specificity, but I think we can find best examples, we can find common solutions for that. I think personally, that one is one of the most very well known privacy and data protection principles can be used. The privacy by design. The best thing is to build inside the procedures from the beginning of the privacy and data protection consideration. So I think this is a very good moment of the reshuffling, reinventing the who is, that we can maybe jump in if you wish. We can really offer our support for this work. Thanks.
This would be very welcome. Thank you. That's Stephanie for the record. Yes, Pranesh.
For the record, this is Pranesh Prakash from the Center for Internet and Society. And after last week, I had a conversation with James Love, who is someone who was involved in the very early days of ICANN in the late 90s. And he pointed out to me how he extensively uses Whois data as part of his work at Knowledge Ecology International, in pushing for transparency. Now, most of that work is related to Whois data of domain names registered by corporations. So what I wanted to know is, as far as I know, there is no distinction between corporations and individuals. But data protection as a concept, as far as I understand, is mostly something that applies to individuals, to people, not to companies. So when we're thinking about triggers and when we're thinking about what data is made public and what's not made public, can there be a distinction between corporations and individuals on the one hand? One. And the second, I'd like to associate myself with the comments made by Jeremy Malcolm and Christopher Wilkinson, because I think that's spot on. And in addition to that, I was asked a question by a government official in India, and I didn't quite have an answer. So if the folks who've been more involved in all of this here could provide me an answer, I'd be grateful, which is, given that consent is one of the core principles in terms of data protection, why can't a best practice just be to allow each and every registrant to say whether they want their information being made public or not, and essentially making you know, undoing this new business that exists of providing privacy services and saying that it must be provided to everyone by default by every registrar. Okay, they must allow it to be made private or to be made public, and that a person should have to think and actually give consent if this information is to be made public. Why can't that be the norm, was a question that I was asked, and I frankly didn't have an answer to it. So
unless anyone else would like to answer that, I think I could plunge in and attempt to answer that. So to the first point, with respect to the difference between a corporation and an individual, Holly Raish is here from ALAC. We have been very actively discussing this in the privacy proxy services, as there was a proposal to restrict privacy proxy services to individuals and not an institution that was, you remember the exact language, something to do with doing financial transactions. Now, The problem with that proposal, as I see it, is ICANN's remit stops at the release of a domain name. And when you register a domain name, you may not know whether you're going to use it to do financial transactions on the web. In my view, governments should be regulating the websites that are doing financial transactions on the web in their jurisdiction. That is a matter for regulation in national governments, and indeed the European Union has done so. So the fact that other countries haven't, if ICANN starts getting in there and saying, well, we're going to look after commercial, we're going to look after banking and financial transactions, if you're doing that, we're going to regulate you, because that's what the privacy proxy accreditation process is when it gets right down to it, then I think there's a problem. I think ICANN is overstepping its remit. That's my personal view, and I expressed it many times on the Privacy Proxy Services Group. Now, what was the next one was in answer to your official. In my view, consent is used far too widely. We talk about informed consent in my jurisdiction, and the average internet user is not informed about the vast ecosystem that is preying on who is data. And I use that in a sort of negative way. But there's a vigorous value-added services industry that gathers up who is data. And they probably haven't thought through any potential danger that might come to them. So, for instance, we had in the public comments to the privacy proxy services, girls who were involved in gaming, who innocently registered in full view. Who would have thought that crazy guys would start posting death threats and rape pictures to them? You know, who would have thought? And tracking them down and threatening to kill them because they were feminists playing video games. I certainly would not have predicted that. The problem with privacy is once it's out, it's out. And in fact, the hell of being a privacy advocate is when people find out you're at ICANN, they send you all these complaints from people that they couldn't figure out the answers to. And, you know, a developer who didn't know any better put his real phone number up, can't get it out of the who was now. Even though he's paying for privacy proxy now, he'd have to pay whoever's running this service $15 a year to get all of his other registration. That can add up. Registered a bunch of domain names. So I don't think consent is reasonable in these circumstances. Thanks.
Do you want me to go into a little bit more about the commercial stuff? Steve Metellitz is here, and a few other veterans of Privacy Proxy Services Working Group are here. Michaeli's smiling, of course. We had a lot of discussion about whether privacy proxy services should only be allowed for individuals and not corporations. Where the discussions became difficult, everything actually became unstuck, was how do you define what is a commercial organization? How do you define what is a transaction? You know, a charity. If a charity actually goes out and raises money, if they're not a charity but they're raising money for a charitable cause, how do you actually define the line between which there is somebody who should have protection and somebody who shouldn't? So we started to get into more of those issues, but it just became too hard to define and draw a line such that for registrars there would be something easy to manage. So we didn't quite go any further than it's too hard. Now, Stephen, contradict me or true? So it wasn't a privacy decision so much as a how do you actually understand a distinction between the commercial transactions you don't think should have the right to use privacy proxy and others that do, and make it simple so that registrars could actually manage that issue.
Thanks very much. Klaus, you had your hand up.
I just wanted to follow up. Sorry. a little bit what you said. Privacy has so many different levels, and one of the major level is, for example, quite simply the human level. What you mentioned, for example, you have in and opt-out things with Facebook and things like that, and the real user really has no idea what is in opting in and out. And this has something to do, which is basic, one of the basic mistakes which has been done with the implementation at the internet. It's a burst defect. It's quite simply that we pushed the technology, but we didn't push at the same time the awareness and use of the user of that technology and what's going on there. So these things have to go hand in hand.
I think Pranesh might like to respond.
Just two quick clarifications, right? So the first one, I think in a very different domain, in the world of creative commons, for instance, defining commercial has been a nightmare. So what I'm suggesting is just a simple distinction, okay, that if you're an individual registering as an individual, then certain kinds of laws normally apply to you. If you're an individual, or if you're registering on behalf of an entity, okay, then entities are treated differently under many laws. And so that's the distinction that I'm trying to draw, not as much between, you know, a commercial organization that engages in commercial transactions and certain kinds of things and others, but between entities and individuals. That personal data is about people, not about entities, and not about people, employees of an entity or volunteers of an entity, etc., who are working on behalf of that entity. So, and the second point, Stephanie, I completely agree with you, but with the examples that you cited, etc., and about the issue of consent. But that's the way things currently are, where usually, if you want to, it's an opt-out process. Okay, where if you don't want your information public, you have to actively opt out. You have to be provided that, you have to be told that that's an option, which many people don't realize. The registrar usually has some kind of agreement with the proxy. Okay, so you have to pay extra for privacy. And the question that I was asked was that this is the state of affairs right now. Instead, a registrar, whenever you register a domain name, should ask you, do you want all this information that you've provided us to be made public, or do you want to keep that information private as part of the registration process? Currently, having registered a few domain names, I know that I'm not asked this question across all registrars. Okay, and even then, there's the disincentive to actually go the private route because I have to pay additional money for that year on year. Okay, so given all, so I think the my question was a bit different from what was responded to, and just wanted to clarify that.
Tapani Tarvainen, for the record, for non-commercial stakeholder group. Just want to touch a little on this point of consent, because as I read it, at least Finnish law and European data protection law, consent is usually given as an acceptable. You can manage, process personal data if you get consent, but it's not really enough. You still need to have an acceptable reason, even for asking the consent. So it's not simply if you get consent, because sometimes you have to give consent to get some kind of access anyway. And if the consent is asked for something which is not justifiable, then it should not be allowed. That's just, you know.
Amar, I think we better get to McKaylee before we get to you. He's been in the queue.
Sorry about that. I just wanted to add to what Tapani said. This is Amar again. I just wanted to add to what Tapani said, that sometimes if consent is provided and issues arise, EU law also stipulates that consent may be withdrawn. And although this does not have a retroactive effect, it is an option. Sorry, McKaylee.
I love getting a bar to apologize to me. Okay, thus I'm hearing lots of different things from different people. Some of it's quite interesting, others a little bit. I rarely speak as the head of the registrars unless I actually go to the mic and say, I'm speaking as the chair of the registrars. You can take it that I am not speaking as the chair of the registrars. Don't worry. Well, you're not one of my members, are you? Okay. Just checking, because if any of my members have a problem, they can tell me. No, I'm not speaking as chair of the registrars. Who is a hot potato? It's been discussed to death for years in ICANN. It's not going anywhere fast. Talking about consent, talking about what you would like to have in a utopian universe is really, really nice, fantastic. But unless you actually start focusing on something concrete, there's no point in any of us coming to these sessions. So, I mean, if you can talk about something more focused, it would be helpful. So, for example, there's the public comment period on the triggers. So, you know, some of you, the gentleman from EFF was talking about, you know, what kind of response they might want to put in for that. And that's useful, and that's something concrete. Talking about complicated, nuanced aspects of consent and various things like that is not going to really be that helpful unless you can get the GAC members to engage, maybe, but I'm not even sure if that was actually going to help. I mean, at the CCTLD level, most of these things are non-issues. And speaking to Rudy's question around, you know, getting at data and all that kind of thing, it's not really an issue. I mean, you look at most CCTLDs, even where they offer a level of privacy, if you are law enforcement or whatever, you can get there, but there's a proper due process for that. In the GTLD space, if you don't want your data in the public whois, you will need to pay for that. You can't expect us as registrars to breach our contracts. Pranesh, if you want to get out of whois, you need to change to get the policy changed.
So the question that was posed to me, how can that happen?
Okay, but the question you asked was asking us, the registrars, to do something which we can't do.
No, my
No, but that's what you asked.
This Pranesh again, for the record. I was asking a question that was asked to me by someone else, and the question that was asked to me was about engaging with the whois process, with the next generation RDS process, and about how about this as an outcome of all of that, and to say that it should be up to the individual registrants. And my question is, and I couldn't say why that shouldn't be an end state. So I'm not asking registrars to violate their contracts or
okay, well,
asserting
that's,
well, anything
good,
of that
don't,
sort.
Because we won't, no. If you paid us enough money, we might consider it. But for free, no, definitely not.
Alan
and Cole would be very upset with us. And then our friends from the IPC would definitely be very upset with us.
I'll buy you a beer this evening for protecting my privacy.
That's really not enough. No, I mean, if the question is around, you know, the outcomes of the RDS conversation, I don't honestly think you're going to see that. You know, the EWG, Stephanie and I and others, actually, I don't know if anybody else in this room who was on that, we came up with a bunch of different recommendations, and some of them are realistically probably completely unworkable. I mean, part of the issue is that it's used as a football, it's used as something, as a proxy for a lot of other things. I mean, people use it in all sorts of weird and wonderful ways. I just don't know how you're going to get a solution. Sorry.
Okay, I think we have agreement you're going to discuss this over a beer tonight. Let's be clear. We have Peter and then Monica Zonneret and then Volker Greiman in the queue. And if I could just respond to Michele saying this isn't helpful. Our goal here was, I'm condensing it somewhat, our goal here really was to bring people up to speed with the state of what's being discussed in terms of privacy in an informal way, not like a drafting session. We'd be happy to talk to anyone who's interested in drafting afterwards. If you want to join us in drafting, we'd love to have you. But the idea was to bring newcomers and folks who maybe hadn't focused on privacy, just a general awareness of some of the issues that we're busy thrashing out, because the insiders are only too painfully aware. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Just one thought about the consent issue. I'm 100% agree with the previous speaker. I really think consent it cannot be the solution. It's too differently interpreted all over the world. It's too complicated to integrate in such a structure as ICANN, I think. And more importantly, I think it cannot be a matter of choice whether we want to give individuals, data subjects, privacy or data protection. It has been built in the system at the first place. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm Monica Jolnerudi from NCUC, and I would like to echo on some of the concerns, I guess, or general mood here, because I'm both an insider and an outsider, I would say. So I've been working on data protection issues for a little while now, but I think I still don't really understand all the issues around it. And I would just like to perhaps discuss what could be the strategies to change those things. And because Michele just said, well, on Whois, we've been discussing it for many years now, and indeed, what in fact we can change, because I think one of the strategies that we have now is to work internally, for example, with the cross-community working group. Let's say we're trying to promote the human rights internally and push ICANN to adopt social responsibility policies, including some other issues like free speech, not just data protection. But I think that is a long process. But what could be other strategies, especially to engage, for example, with the DPAs and push ICANN, just like they pushed Google, for example? We never considered any other harder options, which could perhaps make ICANN to reconsider some of the policies faster, because I think that could be an option for a joint action of several DPAs in EU to write the letter to ICANN and say, look, if not, then perhaps we could pursue legal action, just like they did for other corporations, yeah? We never even thought of this, but maybe that's also that needs a lot of engagement with the DPAs and to consider what strategies could be developed. I don't know. These are just the thoughts, because I think on the more different levels we approach this issue, the better it might happen. Because it just internally, I don't think we, without external big pressure, we could achieve a lot. I don't know. That's my sort of idea. Thank you.
Just to respond to that while the microphone moves, it's Stephanie Perrin for the record. They have been engaging since, Italian Data Protection Commissioner prior to Buttarelli, Professor Rodotà came to the Rome ICANN. That was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So it's not as if the DPAs haven't engaged. The problem is the way to engage is somebody's got to complain against the registrars. And, you know, Michele, get in the queue. I don't think they're very keen on that. So over to Volker. Thanks.
Thank you. As a registrar, yes, we're not very keen on that. First point, you need a bigger room because this is a topic of interest and apparently you've outgrown. I just wanted to report back from the Public Safety Working Group, whose session I just attended. And it was an interesting spirited debate, and it was also very clear that the publication of private data in the Whois, there is a problem there. The unhindered access to private public data is a problem. There are, of course, reasons why this may be allowed. Law enforcement may be one of those issues. But on the other hand, when we saw the presentations that were given to us there, it was shown to us very explicitly that private data in public Whois are mainly used to catch stupid criminals, to allow the not so stupid criminals to take over their business. That was the at least my takeaway from the presentations in that session. The good part about this is the governments, the GAC, and law enforcement are now starting this discussion. And they have people from the European Union and data protection people from the European Union that are also able to participate in that. That's a channel that is, I think, very helpful, and we should follow that and support that channel, because getting those parties engaged, we as registrars have worked for a long time to get law enforcement more organized, more engaged as a quasi-working group. And this is the start of that. And I think by engaging with those people at that level, I think we can achieve great things. Thank you.
Thanks very much. We have Holly in the queue next. If we could get the mic over. Thank you.
Yeah, just an update on Whois conflicts and sort of where we got to, if I haven't already talked about it. Have you talked about Christopher Wilkins' suggestion?
Yes.
Have you talked about the idiocy of almost the whole issue?
Yeah.
Have we decided that, in fact, Christopher's second option is better? That was The option I'm talking about is have a high-level policy statement that all registrars comply with, regardless of jurisdiction. Good. Glad you got there.
Don't give away the mic. We really should have a preliminary discussion about the privacy proxy working group because we haven't gone into some of the issues there. We've been kind of stuck on who is conflicts with law, and there's quite a few issues there. I think David got out the door, and I had him. There you are. Perfect.
What do you want me to say, particularly? PBSAI. No,
well,
the
dealt with the commercial one, so maybe right. Some of the other issues.
That's a very good question, actually. There's a lot of other issues in that working group, and you probably will have to remind me of some of them, especially as Kathy. And I know you can help.
I can help.
The proxy and privacy services accreditation issues working group has been is one that's somewhere near the end of its what's been a pretty long and hard process, and a lot of people in there with a very strong opinions and. But I'm sure we are just saying to Steve Metallitz last night, we're all starting to feel it's been a long and difficult road but there may be an end in sight. We discussed at length things like the issue of whether proxy and privacy, the issue is proxy and privacy services are really the one mechanism that you can use sort of, you know, legally and according to a policy to have a domain name while not making, you know, your contact and personal details in the who is public. And so the details of how they work are incredibly important. We've discussed in particular the issue of whether or not commercial use of them was permitted, and that was a very complicated issue as has been earlier discussed. We've also talked about issues like under what conditions are they required to reveal if people have tried to contact you and you haven't responded? How does that, is that a grounds to remove your proxy registration or reveal it to the inquiry? How that works, we've had, what other big issues? Yes, we've had a lot of discussion about, well, okay, if we're going to regulate proxy and privacy services, should this mean we are going to regulate lawyers who register domain names on behalf of their clients and then claim legal confidentiality over some of that details? Why, you know, are they getting a different deal just because, you know, just because they're lawyers? We've had differing opinions. We're going to have essentially not quite a dissenting report, but an annex that is not part of the main report, talking about how we might deal with particularly intellectual property related claims and how we deal with those. It's been a really long issue, long. But the commercial use was absolutely the most contentious issue. We got. Normally, ICANN public comment periods get a handful, like, you know, usually a dozen or two reports. We got a couple of public campaigns for input led to us with something getting 60,000 responses, that which were all very similar, but 20,000 responses. I've got the number wrong. But 20,000, well, they're all very similar, but still the number was astonishing for an ICANN process, and including some individual responses with an extraordinary number of people signing on to joint letters and things like that. Privacy, clearly it's an issue that when you go, people outside ICANN care about hugely, and they just don't realize that we deal with it so often. And when they do, they get very excited indeed, I think, as shown us. What issues have I missed?
You've missed our...
Name.
Holly Raish, for the record. You've missed the model as to circumstances under which intellectual property people would have access to the data. Now, this ties in with, in many of the responses that were made in the petitions in response to the public comment, use terms like no, never, except if there is an acceptable legal, and what was the terminology that said without legal it was legally justifiable or something. And what we had to do was try to unpack what that means and understand whether we could use our understanding of a particular phrase and attach that to the process that we put in as a sample for the steps that intellectual property people would have to go through before the data was released, the contact data was released. So we actually, in the public comment period, in where we are now, it's a matter of looking at that annex and seeing if we can actually accept that this process of all of the steps required, all the information required before a request is made, and then coming up to what are the options. If you are an individual or if you are the registrant, should you have the right to, well, first of all, you have the right to be contacted, a request is made. Do you then have the right, or should it just be an option at the registrar's discretion to say, I don't want the details released, and to avoid the release, you want to do it, I'll just quit. I'll just get out. I'll hand in my domain name. And should that option be available is another difficult one. In terms of the lawyer issue, it's a larger issue. For those of you who actually are into this stuff, you will have read the final report of Who Is. And there, the term privacy proxy, the distinction that was drawn in that report and the one that should still stick in people's minds, privacy service is actually a privacy service, and the name of the service provider is what goes in the Who Is data. Proxy is more an agency arrangement. Now, it may mainly is lawyers, but it can be other situations where somebody is acting as an agent for something else. It's conceptually different. From day one, though, we have treated them as the same thing and then suddenly come to a screeching halt when we went, well, what are we going to do about lawyers because they're agents? And way back when we said we're going to treat them all the same. And because we didn't distinguish, now we're stuck with distinguishing. So there are a few hurdles to go. I think that's the only sort of rundown of issues that we've got. Wednesday morning.
Okay, hello everybody. My name's Lee Hibbard. I'm from the Council of Europe. Peter's already spoken before when I wasn't there. Well, I was in the Public Safety Working Group meeting. I'm involved in that. I'm involved in the GAC Working Group on Human Rights and International Law and the Cross-Community Working Party. I just want to, some of you already know that on the 3rd of June this year, the Council of Europe, 47 countries adopted a declaration with the words ICANN, Human Rights and Rule of Law in the title. That's probably never happened before. And although it's addressed to governments, to member states, it addresses the issue of ICANN. And for the first time, you will see the words human rights, rule of law, communities, and all the words you're using here probably. We have a mandate now to go forward and explore arrangements to help ICANN, the GAC, and the communities, you, in your work to ensure balanced approach to things like, you know, who is, etc. Peter is here to mobilize the 47 country data protection supervisory authorities, and he will go back in December and he will talk to them and we'll try to work out an action plan, I hope, or something which can serve you. So that's what's really clear to bear in mind, is that we're trying to bring that in. I think I just want to ask you if you can help us identify the specific key issues. We cannot cover everything, I imagine, but we can address certain salient points in terms of, you know, stepping back and looking, having a consensus position on a specific issue that could be entertained by the 47 countries. If it was really important enough, it might take a year or two to come through, but it could help shape the position on who is, if it's in 2 years' time or a year and a half's time. So I would really hope you can help us and Peter to really signal them key issues which you need a serious, concerted governmental approach and response, which is written and signed. Thank you.
Thanks very much. We can undertake to do that.
And can I just say, to save time, I've already just asked them if they'll be involved in the RDDS working group.
Thank you. I'm Steve Metallitz. I'm the co-chair of the Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Issues Working Group. Been mentioned many times here. Graham Bunton from 2COWS is my co-chair. And there are about half a dozen people in this room that have been very active and constructive participants in that group. Can I ask, as you probably know, we published a draft report in May. Can I ask how many people in this room filed a public in the public comment period, either your own or on behalf of somebody else? Thank you. I appreciate those. You know, there were about 8 or 10 hands up, and I think those comments have been very helpful. There were a lot of them. There were not 60,000, but there were quite a few, and we've done our best to go through them reflect the concerns that were expressed and any issues that were identified that weren't in our initial report. So I just wanted to give the status report that we are working, as several people have said, toward the final report. We hope to have that done by December, in time for submitting it to the GNSO Council in December. And as somebody mentioned, there is a public session Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, and I don't know what room number it's in, but I'm sure it's on the schedule. So we would, and we'll provide some more detail there. But I think we are near the end. We still have a lot of more work to do, and I just want to thank the people in this room who have rolled up their sleeves and worked hard to try to bring this across the finish line. I think we're getting there. So I just wanted to give that status report. Thank you.
Just on the offer of privacy commissioners getting together and talking, if I can go back to Who Is Conflicts and the rather silly situation that it puts registrars in, i.e. they go to ICANN to find out what privacy law is, which is a bit silly. One of the suggestions that was made in an annex was that there be an ICANN-wide, global-wide, general policy as to what privacy is in relation to who is information. Because right now we've got the process, as you've all heard, that is unworkable. Registrars don't even use it. Doesn't help in dealing with the conflicts where there is a request for who is information and there is a privacy law. It's a conflict. So if there were global agreement on the respect that should be given who is data, the situations when it can reasonably be provided or not, at that level, it would be really, really helpful.
Thanks very much. We have about 15 minutes left. Perhaps it's time to open the floor to more questions. I know I tried to do that at the beginning of the meeting, but there are more people here now. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes. Very good.
Paul McGrady, an IPC member to the privacy proxy team, but I don't want to talk about that. Are there other human rights issues besides who is? And or is this subject, is this only about who is today? Thanks.
We basically said at the beginning that privacy issues at ICANN fall down on two sides. There's ICANN as an institution and whether it has a decent privacy policy, and we think maybe no. And then there's privacy, and then there's privacy as a data controller. ICANN is a data controller. And basically most of the action is in who is. So that's what we've been focused on. And of course there are many PDPs going on related to who is. Now I would invite my human rights colleagues who are sitting at the back, if they wish to talk a little bit about ICANN and human rights. Do we have any volunteers? Yeah. Niels, go ahead.
Hi all, this is Niels Tenover for the record. And to answer the answer real quickly is that we'll be discussing many more human rights issues in the cross-community working party on ICANN's corporate and social responsibility to risk human rights which is Wednesday morning from 9 to 10:15. And then you can also help us shape the work on that in the working session from 5 to 6, where we'll be discussing what we will be doing upwards to Marrakesh. So that's the quick rundown. We'll be doing much more work there. We developed a report up to this session, of which I got some paper copies, which I'm also happy to distribute. As you know, we're also working on human rights in the cross-community working group on accountability, where in working stream one, up to the transition, we're working on getting a commitment to human rights in the bylaws, which right now seems to be a commitment from ICANN within its scope and mission to respect human rights as recognized in international law. And then in Workstream 2, we'll work out what that exactly means and how we're going to operationalize that. And there are many ideas about that, and there are many different human rights that come into play, and that's definitely not only privacy, but I think this mission, this session is dedicated to privacy exactly, so solely, so I will not hijack this session to talk about the other work.
And we, in turn, won't hijack your session to talk about privacy, I promise, even though the room wasn't big enough. Anyone, any other questions, discussion? I'm sorry to see that Rudy has gone, because I don't think we really responded to his very valid concern about law enforcement, because that's the axis where we're really arguing half the time between whether criminals are using the net, and whether we need open, who is. Michele wants to talk to that.
God, yes, of course I do. I mean, from the, you know, as a registrar and as a hosting provider, you know, we get abuse reports about different types of activities, and we invariably will have contact details for our clients. Now, what's in the who isn't actually important in that instance. If somebody is distributing malware or some other kind of, well, clear-cut crap, junk, whatever you want to call it, it's, as the hosting provider, you know, you deny access in some way. If you are the registrar of record and the only thing the domain name is being used for, so maybe one of those algorithmically generated domains or something like that, is distribution of this kind of material, pull it. If it's child abuse material, you can pull it. Those kind of things are simple and straightforward. The issue around some of this law enforcement access to public who is that they're incapable of providing us with any metrics. Absolutely incapable. We have repeatedly asked them for data. They have never supplied us with any data. However, we can provide data showing how many domain names, how many websites, how many million email addresses, how many million users were impacted when we have been forced to disable websites attached to domain names that we've been forced to suspend due to emails bouncing. Now, when it comes to a lot of these discussions, there's lots of hairy-fairy terms thrown about, and some of the stuff is absolutely ridiculous and goes off into really strange places where we can't really take it. I mean, ICANN has a fairly narrow remit. It can't replace governments. It can't force us as private companies to take decisions that countermand the decisions of governments if we fall under their jurisdiction. It's you know, we're quite narrow there, but technical means there's data means you're able to base your decisions on that data. You know, when it comes to the law enforcement side of things, it would be helpful to get statistics. Some of us were in the a session about illegal pharmacies, unlicensed pharmacies, and everything else. Now, it doesn't matter what they say, but they're actually able to give you numbers, statistics. You know, X thousand domain names, Y thousand websites, Z number of whatever. But the law enforcement has not been able to provide us with any data. Unless I'm missing some. Volker, you know any? Okay, never mind.
Hi, Aidan Fertel, and I'm a participant with the Next Gen at ICANN program. I just had one question. You mentioned that your most recent call for comments received in the order of 20,000 responses. And I also heard from David that many of the consultation responses shared a similar sentiment. I was hoping you might be able to articulate, please, how these responses were analyzed and how these key themes were identified, because 20,000 seems like a considerable number of responses for, is it 16 representatives to analyze?
It's clear we didn't count them well in our group. We have numbers varying from 60,000 to 20,000. Basically, we split into subteams to analyze the different comments. There had been a framework for the comments, so we divided the topic areas. And there was another group called No Comment Left Behind, where we actually created a spreadsheet of all the comments, and if someone had signed a petition and said something, that, whatever they said, was plugged into the spreadsheet. So it's a work of art. I don't think that, I'm not sure whether that's ever going up on the ICANN website, but that's what, will it? Yeah? Okay, so we have.
I think so.
So we do have a massive spreadsheet showing how we analyze this. Volker, do you want to jump in here and help me out?
Yes, Stephanie. Just to complete the picture, we in the working group did not read every single one of those emails. They were prepared for us by staff. They were analyzed by staff and then categorized. A lot of comments used the same text, so these were grouped into one comment and then said so-and-so many people sent this comment. They added something that was broken out and added to something else. So we did not read that many emails. We just had the spreadsheet that staff prepared for us that broke these comments up into different categories, and these were analyzed, which was still a very significant number of individual comments that we had to read.
I think to clarify, two of the those 20,000 comments, there were two sort of public campaigns that provided templates. So a large percentage of them were very similar, but that still left several hundred that were not, and that we had to analyze individually. Some of which were quite extensive. So it has actually been a couple of months of very solid work just analyzing the comments or more. Just analyzing the comments has been was a big pile of work, which we have been doing. I think tried to do very thoroughly.
And let's be clear: there's two different spreadsheets we're talking about. The no comment left behind. We put them all in. The other review template is what was given to the main working group. So thanks, Paul. Yes.
Thank you, Paul McGrady. Again, I was a co-convener with Kathy Kleiman on sub-team 4, No Comment Left Behind. And in terms of process, so there's the spreadsheet with, it was about 15 pages, with blurbs about all some specific comments that were there. And then there's a second document that overlays that, which was our sub-team's attempt to summarize those. And so when you read them sequentially, the big spreadsheet, then the summary, and then how it came out in whatever the final report ends up looking like. So you can see sort of how it goes. Even taking out the comments that were, and I want to use the right word because I don't want to offend anybody in the room. And I got in trouble once for referring to it wrongly. So please, I'm not doing this on purpose if I screw it up.
So I'm standing right beside
but even if you take out the...
I did stand up.
Yeah, even if you take out the comments that appeared to be based on templates, is that fair? There was still a lot of comments. It was a very robust comment period. And so I really encourage you guys to find that stuff on the ICANN page. I think it's in the wiki for this group. But read them sequentially. Start with the big spreadsheet, then the summary, then the final reports. You can get the flavor of how we did our best to not leave a comment behind. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Paul. One more question online. Mariam Bakoshi will read that for us.
The question is from Mermet. Has anyone in the room first thoughts on the ECJ on safe harbor data transfers? In particular, I wonder, ICANN says escrow can be done in EU countries already. True?
That's Michele was just about to escape. Yes, we certainly have thought about safe harbor, but I don't think we can really do it justice in the 4 minutes. So if we could get that person's contact information, perhaps some of us would correspond with them. I would just say that it's early days yet.
Stephanie, yeah. I'll keep this brief. As chair of the registrars, I reached out to ICANN staff to get some clarity on it because... It's at the moment Iron Mountain is the only escrow agent that European-based registrars are using. So we're waiting for a response from them.
Okay, we have an update. Sorry, Volker was speaking.
Yes, please.
small update on this. I've been talking to ICANN staff and other providers that are offering this service that are EU-based. And there are discussions and negotiations already ongoing between ICANN staff and these providers, and they're looking to provide a solution for registrars so that the currently American-only escrow option will become supplemented by a European one. No promises, though, but that's the current state.
I hope everybody has read the WikiLeaks version of the TPP, because it actually has a statement in there that contact details must be made public. And that's 12 countries. And we Australia, have signed. We haven't ratified, but we have signed. So there's, you know, read the TPP.
Yes, that's a whole other topic that we will be looking at shortly. I hope that answers the question that the caller had on the Adobe chat. But if not, please feel free to contact me, Stephanie Perrin, again for the record. Thanks. I think if there's nothing else, we've kept you all a long time sitting in uncomfortable positions. Next time, we'll try and get a bigger room. Thanks very much for coming. And